Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Imagine you're in a hospital room facing surgery, and your family and your friends are there, and your pastor stops by to have a devotion and a prayer, and in the midst of your conversation, he offers you this bit of advice. And remember, we've got hope for the worst. I imagine your reaction would be something along the line, hope for the worst. I thought we're supposed to hope for the best. And that's true. Aren't we? We are to hope for the best in every situation. It's the great truth which is brought home to us this morning. Easter is the celebration of the fact that our God is greater than any problem we could ever face. His destruction of the power of death by his resurrection from the grave is God's proof and assurance that no matter how dark life may look, his power, his presence is there. And through him, we can always hope for the best. But for the same reason, because Jesus burst forth in victory from the tomb, and we proclaim this morning he is risen, we also have hope for the worst. We don't hope for the worst, but we have hope for the worst. Hope for the times when we feel as if we're completely alone, and there's nobody in the world who really could give a rip about us. Hope for the times when we hurt so badly that we just want to give up. Hope for those times when we've lost our job and don't know how we're going to feed our family or how we're even going to face the next day. Hope for the time we find drugs in our kid's room or when our spouse has told us they don't love us anymore. Because of Easter, even in those times, those worst of times, we have hope. And that's because Easter is God's wonderful word of promise that says, even in the worst imaginable circumstance, I can bring triumph and joy. You see, that's what Easter is all about. Giving hope for the worst. God's word for us this morning from Psalm 130 is this promise, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. Think again about what we heard from John's gospel this morning. Mary Magdalene was on her way to the tomb of Jesus. The other gospel accounts tell us that she was going to anoint the body of Christ with burial oils. So we know what was on her mind that first Easter morning. Death. Her beloved master had been hung on a cross just 3 days earlier, and she had watched him die. Mary was most certainly not feeling hopeful or joyful. Her hope had been destroyed when the one she believed was her Messiah, her Lord, had breathed his last breath. Mary's mood and the mood of the other disciples could well have been expressed by the first two verses of that psalm, Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. Out of the depths. I think those words really sum up what those three deep, dark days were for those who love Jesus. He'd shown so much to them. He'd demonstrated how high the hopes of life could be. He had given hope to those who were crippled and hurting. He'd given hope to those who felt rejected, who were outcast. He'd given them hope when he promised them a home with God. As he said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And his disciples had seen how high and glorious and beautiful that home would be when they were with Jesus on that Mount of Transfiguration. But now all those hopes were destroyed. The one they trusted in, the one in whom they had placed all their hopes, was lying in a grave on the outskirts of the city. In that grave lay their love conquered their hopes dashed, all the promises withdrawn because his death was a certainty. And if the very Son of God couldn't defeat mere men, how could they possibly face their problems? The death of Jesus was the death of all hope. If God, who so clearly works through this man Jesus, could not prevail, how could they ever hope to? I don't think we can imagine what that must have been like for those people. How horrible it would have been, how terrible it would have been to struggle during those 3 days. With Jesus' death came the message that life was no more than a throw of the dice. There's no purpose, no meaning, there's no God. Do we ever live our lives this way? Do we profess belief in God, belief in his Son, whom he sent to bring us hope, and then live our lives as if his presence were just a secondary matter? Do we react like Mary when we're confronted with problems in our life? She took one glance at the tomb, saw the body missing, and then ran away. When we face difficulties, do we quickly glance around for the Lord, and when he doesn't give us an immediate answer for our problem, we run in any and every direction looking for a solution, trying to get things under control ourselves, rather than trusting and believing in the God who gives us hope? I think we do. I think very often, I think maybe too often, each of us acts and reacts as if God doesn't matter, as if he doesn't care about us. And you know what that's called? It's called sin. Seeking our own way, wanting things on our own terms, rather than asking God what his desire for us might be. Wanting our will to be done, rather than trusting his will. And if this is the way we're acting, we're saying the tomb was not empty on Easter morning. And if that's true, then our hope really is gone. The grave is our final destination, along with utter separation from God. We have no hope as we stand by the grave of a loved one. There can be no relief from the wars and bloodshed and cruelty of this world, and no reason to struggle against them. If the tomb wasn't empty, then the best we can give our children is dance lessons, sports abilities, college education, and some money when we die. No resurrection means there will be nothing more. Because if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most pitied. But the truth is, the tomb was empty. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. First fruits anticipate what? Second fruits, and that's us. Christ's death fully paid for our sins, fully paid for all of the things that we've done and failed to do and offended our God and offended one another, hurt one another. So with the Apostle Peter, we can declare, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You see, our greatest problem isn't job loss or kids in trouble or anything like that. Our greatest problem is that we're sinners, that we're separated from God. We can try to avoid God, try to avoid the fact that we turn from him, but ultimately we have to face the fact that sin has separated us from the author of life, and it has to be dealt with. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. The hymn writer said it right when he wrote, You who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly. Here its guilt may estimate. As we go to the cross, we see the seriousness of our sins and the cost of dealing with it. Without the cross, the ledger of sin remains and we're condemned. But Jesus died for each and every one of our sins, and in so doing, he has given us a way to come to our Father and receive forgiveness. Psalm 130 says, "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?" And the obvious answer to that is absolutely no one. If God held us accountable for our sins, we'd be lost forever. But because of Jesus, we're no longer in our sins. Through the cross of Christ, we receive forgiveness. And the empty tomb is God's stamp of approval on what God has done for us, what Christ has done for us. At the empty tomb, we can proclaim, "Put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption." We can put our hope in the Lord because in sending his only Son to die for us and raising him to new life on that first Easter morning, God says, here is hope for life. Here I show that I am the all-powerful God, even able to defeat death. Here I show that even your sin can't take away my sacrificial love. This morning, as we come to worship, we come with Mary to the tomb. But we don't come with spices to anoint a dead body, to simply remember a great and gifted teacher. This morning we come with our sins, with our wrongs. We come with lives which have been lived according to the measure of this world rather than God's. We come with desperate problems and concerns, and we ask, is there hope even for me? And as we do, we hear those words, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen." And those hammer blows and cries of pain on Good Friday become not sounds of death, but sounds which usher in new life. We hear God tearing up the ledger that held the record of our sins. We hear the sounds of grace and forgiveness. Christ has risen. He has crushed Satan. He has destroyed death. He has killed the power of sin. And he has risen victorious to bring new life and a powerful presence into our lives. As we stand before the empty tomb this morning, new hope dawns for us. And this isn't just wishful thinking or empty dreaming. It's living hope in a living Lord. Here's hope that out of every death, the death that comes from sin, of failure, of broken bodies, spirits and relationships, life can be restored. Here's hope that in spite of the evil that seems to surround us, God is still in control, opening up the future to all who will put their trust in him. Put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him plentiful redemption. Christ has purchased you and me by the cross and by his power over death. He is risen, and we are raised with him as well. And we will live in hope. We will live in hope that has not and cannot be destroyed by any power of this world. Because we truly do have hope for the worst. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.